just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Romans 8, I'll read verses 20 through the end of 22, and I'm going to ask you to join me in a verse. The creature or the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature or the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And the inspired Apostle Paul is referring to the now, which is the coming of our Lord and his shedding of sinless blood to purchase the forgiveness of the sins of all who will put their faith in him. Go with me now to Psalm 150. Psalm 150, verse 6. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let's prepare to read that verse together in triumphant unison. Psalm 150, verse 6. Now this is your time to join the choir and the orchestra and lift up your voice, which is your instrument, and praise the King, for the King reigns. Are you ready? The first word is let. Let's read it together, please. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now turn for a final passage to Luke 2. We're going to read this passage responsively. Luke 2. We'll read verses 1 through 7. I'll read the first verse of the congregation. Will please read the second verse. And when we get to verse 7 of Luke 2, we'll all read verse 7 together. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, reading responsively. I'll begin. The congregation will read the second. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. To be taxed, and it literally means to be enrolled for the taxation. To be enrolled for the taxation with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. May God bless his word. May he burn it into our hearts. Please be seated. My text is verse 7 of Luke 2. Luke 2, and two particular phrases from verse 7. Phrases A and C of Luke 2, verse 7. The Bible reads, And she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. She brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. Now, some years ago, this particular event, which only occurs once on our calendar year, was called the Sunday School Christmas Concert. Now, because we've involved teenagers and adults, we've come to call it the church-wide Christmas concert. But because we have the children involved and are so thrilled to have the children sing and take part, I have prepared this message especially for the children. Now, teenagers and adults, you can listen in if you want to. In fact, if you don't, I might ask an usher to talk with you. But I've especially planned the message for the children. And I'm hoping that there'll be at least one thing in this message that will also speak to the rest of us. And I have another dream this Christmas. I just finished this a half hour before service time, and I have a dream that someday this will be in print with a lot of full-color pictures in a picture book. So this is called A Child's Picture Book, or The Critters and the King. A Child's Picture Book, or The Critters and the King. Young people, do you know what a critter is? Do you know what a critter is? A critter is an animal. Excellent. Very good answer. You get 100 marks with a gold star. The term critter is a down-home, backwoods, a country name for creature. The term creature, as we've heard from this excellent answer, the term creature can refer to any animal, bird, or reptile that our Creator God has made. So a critter is a country term for a creature. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was born, his mother Mary placed him in a manger or a feed trough, because all the rooms and beds in the inn, the motel, were already filled with other people. Now, do you suppose that if Mary put Jesus in an animal's feed trough, that there were probably some animals nearby? You suppose if there was an animal's feed trough there, that there were probably also some animals there? I think so. I think it's not reading in the scripture to suppose that if there was a manger there, an animal's feed trough, there were also at least some animals very close by. And is it possible that some birds, because it was nighttime, had swooped down into the low door and flown into the stable to find some shelter for the night? Is that possible? I think it's quite possible that there were also some birds in the stable not far from the manger. Birds love to build their nests in the barn on the farm where I grew up. The swallows like to swoop down through the low door and build their nests on the beams of the barn on the farm where I was raised. Birds love to go into barns or stables to be there for shelter and to build their nests. There may have been then several critters in the stable where Jesus was born. There may have been some animals, and there may have been some critters that were birds. Now, I have yet another question for you. This is a very, very hard question. I doubt if anyone can answer this question, but I'll give you an opportunity. The next question is this. Do critters talk? Do critters talk? Critters don't talk. That's a very correct answer. Normally, critters don't talk. But God had Balaam's donkey talk in Numbers chapter 22, 28. So all critters could talk if God wanted them to talk. Would you agree with me on that? All critters could talk if God wanted them to talk, because he had the power to let a donkey talk. Now, today, for just a few moments, and I'll not be long, we are going to imagine that the critters in the stable where Jesus was born could talk. And let's imagine that our Lord's stepfather, the carpenter Joseph, spoke to the critters. Let's just imagine for a few moments that Joseph spoke to the critters, the animals and the birds, and asked all of them what gift they were going to give to the newborn king. Are you with me on it? We're imagining this. We're supposing that if God could make a donkey talk, he could make all critters talk, and that Joseph there with Mary and the infant Jesus spoke to the critters. I used to talk to the animals on the farm where I grew up. I had a wonderful pet that I rode. We went out through the pasture field. We went down the back lane in the hills. I rode Fury. And you know what television program was on when I was that age. I rode Fury. But Fury wasn't a horse. Fury was a calf. And Fury didn't enjoy it as much as I did. And after just a few months, Fury decided to retire. And I'd jump on top of Fury's back and say, "Let's go!" And Fury would not budge, because she learned if she didn't move, I wasn't going to go anywhere, and I'd soon get off. I used to talk to the animals on the farm where I grew up. They became my friends. So let's just imagine that Joseph talks to some of these critters in the stable and asks them what gift they are going to bring to the newborn king, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 84, verses 1 and 3, we read how amiable, that means pleasant, how pleasant or how desirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Yea, or yes, the sparrow has found a house where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King. Psalm 84 says that the swallows and the sparrows like to build their nests right under the soffits or the eaves of the tabernacle of God. The sparrows loved their Creator so much that they wanted to build their nests to be near the building where God's people in the Old Testament worshipped Him. Here's the first thing I want you to remember. When Joseph talked with these critters and talked with the sparrows that had come into that stable for the night, the sparrow might have said, "What gift will I give to Jesus, the newborn king? I'll give him this gift. I'll build my house near his house. I'll build my house near his house, and I'll give him the gift of my life. I'll build my house near his house, so when I grow up and have a family, my family will be near him. I'll build my house near his house. That's the gift I'll give him. I'll have my family near him so that my young will learn to worship him. That's the gift I'll give him. Parents, are you building your house near his house? Are you building your family near the Lord? Do you have family worship? Are you even doing what the sparrow said she wanted to do? Are you giving the king the gift of building your house and your family near him? You say, I'm poor. I'm on food stamps. Hardly live on anything. Yes, but you can still build your house near his house. You can give him that gift this Christmas. Then in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 7, we read of another critter that could have been in that stable that night long ago. In Matthew 21, verses 1 through 7, we're told that it was the foal or offspring of a donkey that Jesus' disciples secured for Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This was the brief occasion, just a few days before his death, to shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And this was the brief occasion when the crowds treated Jesus like a king. And if there was a donkey present in that stable long ago when Jesus was born, and Joseph asked the donkey, "What gift will you give the newborn king?" The donkey might have said, "What gift will I give the newborn king? I'll give my back to the newborn king, because every king should ride. Kings shouldn't have to walk all over the place. I'll give my back to the newborn king, because every king should ride." Ladies and gentlemen, are we serving as feet for the Lord Jesus? Are we using our feet to take the gospel to those in our neighborhoods who need to hear that Jesus came not only to be born, but to shed his blood to purchase the forgiveness of sins for all who would trust him? Are we giving our feet? Are we giving our back so the message of the gospel of the king can ride in our neighborhood? Are we? The donkey might have said, "What gift will I give the king? Oh, I'll give him my back. Every king should ride." Are we so serving King Jesus that he can ride in our lives and his gospel can ride out to those at school and in the marketplace, our places of employment, in our subdivisions? Are we giving our backs to the king so he can ride and his gospel can ride? Then, in Luke 22, we read of another critter that may have been there in that stable. Luke 22, verses 55 through 61. There we read that after Peter had three times denied that he knew Jesus, the cock or the rooster crowed. It's very possible that there was a rooster in that stable that night. A few times, for brief periods of time, we had chickens and roosters on the farm where I grew up. Oh, those roosters like to get up early in the morning. I've never yet beat a rooster up. Have you? Oh, I don't mean beat him up. I mean got up before the rooster crowed. I've never yet beat a rooster up. And it just may be that when Joseph, the stepfather of the infant Christ, said to the rooster, "Rooster, what gift will you bring to the newborn king?" It's just possible that the rooster might have said, "What gift will I bring to the newborn king? I'll tell you what gift I'll bring to the newborn king. I will crow loudly every time the king is denied. I will crow loudly every time the king is denied. I will crow loudly every time someone is ashamed of the king." Are you willing to bring that gift to King Jesus this morning? Will you take a stand? Will you say to one at your school, when he uses the name of Jesus in cursing, will you bring the same gift to Jesus that the rooster might have said he'd bring? Will you crow loudly every time King Jesus is denied? When someone says his name and takes it in vain and uses it as a curse word, will you say, "Do you know him? I didn't know that you knew my Jesus. Do you love him?" Will you bring him the gift of crowing every time he's denied or every time someone is ashamed of him? Peter was warming his hands. He was having fellowship at the fire of the enemy. He was being buddy-wuddy. He was being palsy-walsy with those who were going to give Jesus over to be crucified. He was being their friend. He was ashamed to be known as a friend of King Jesus. And so the rooster told on him. The rooster tattled on Peter. It may be that when Joseph said to the rooster, "What gift will you bring, King Jesus?" it may be that he answered, "I'll crow every time someone who professes to be a Christian is ashamed of him. I'll crow every time a child from Dyer Baptist Church feels the pressure of other children who don't love Jesus. And every time a child from Dyer Baptist Church drops his head or her head and is quiet when people are making fun of the Lord, the rooster might have said, "That's the gift I'll give to Jesus. I'll crow every time someone denies him." Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer that for the rest of our lives, I include myself. It is my prayer that for the rest of our lives, every time we are tempted to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, we will hear in our mind the crowing of a rooster. It is my prayer that every time someone uses the name of Jesus in vain, I'll hear in my mind the crowing of a rooster, reminding me not to deny King Jesus. Do we deny Jesus with bad behavior? Do we tell lies? Do we use dirty words? Do we listen to music that has bad words and a bad beat? It is my prayer that we will remember the gift that the rooster might offer to bring to baby Jesus, the gift of crowing every time he's denied. And then I move quickly. We come to the fourth critter that probably was in that stable. Remember the name John the Baptist gave to Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29? in John 1:29, John the Baptist pointed at Jesus. They were cousins. And as John the Baptist pointed at Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb. Take a look. He looks like a human being, and he is a human being, but he's something else. Take a look at the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." And so, if there was a lamb in that stable the night Jesus was born, the lamb might have said, "What gift will I give to the newborn king? I'll give him my name. That's what I'll do. I'll give the newborn king my name, and he will be called Lamb. He will be called the Lamb of God who takes away, bears away with his own shed blood the sin of the world. He will be the human lamb. He will die and shed his blood, and after he does that, after he dies and sheds his blood, it will not be necessary for any more lambs from our flocks to die. I'll tell you what I'll give the newborn king. I'll give him my name. I'll let him be called Lamb. Because when he grows up and dies and sheds his blood, lambs from our flocks won't have to die and shed their blood anymore, because he will shed his blood, sinless human lamb blood, to purchase the forgiveness of the sins of all who will believe. I'll give him my name. That's what I'll give him, because he'll be the supreme and final sacrifice whose shed blood will potentially purchase the forgiveness of the sins of all the world, and specifically the sins of all who will put their trust in his blood. Then, as I move toward the close, think again of another critter. Think of the dove that Noah sent out from the ark when the flood waters were going down after the flood had finished. Think of the dove that Noah sent out in Genesis chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. Remember how the dove went out three times? And remember how the second time the dove went out, she brought an olive leaf back in her beak? So Noah and those in the ark knew that vegetation was growing again, and God was bringing new life back upon the face of the earth. Remember how the dove brought that olive leaf in her beak. The olive branch and the olive leaf is a symbol of peace. So when Joseph asked the dove, cooing there, "Broo, broo, broo." When Joseph asked the dove, cooing there in the stable, "And Miss Dove, what gift will you bring to the newborn King Jesus?" It may be that the dove said, "Oh, I'll give an olive leaf to the newborn king, because he'll be the Prince of Peace." The olive tree and the olive branch and the olive leaf are pictures of peace. And when that dove brought the olive leaf, when the floodwaters were going down, God was saying through the dove and the olive leaf that his anger was pacified because he had judged the world with a flood. And so the dove brought the olive leaf. And it may be that the dove said that night, "I'll tell you what I'll bring him. I'll bring him an olive leaf, because he's the Prince of Peace." Do you have peace in your heart this morning? Do you have the peace of sins forgiven? We are thrilled and very honored to have a number of guests in the service this morning, and on behalf of our entire church family, I tell you, if you're a guest, that you have honored us by coming. More than that, you have honored Christ. But here is my question to you. Do you have spiritual peace in your life? The Bible says He is our peace. Jesus is our peace, who hath broken down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. You see, the issue is not one of race. The issue is not one of race. What language we speak, what country our foreparents came from, it matters not. What color of pigmentation is in our skin? He is our peace. Jesus, who has broken down that middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, red, yellow, black, and white. Jesus is peace for everyone who will trust Him for the forgiveness of sins as Savior and Lord. Do you have spiritual peace today? Are you born again? Do you know that you have the peace that if you were hit by a car on the way home today and killed, do you know you'd be instantly with the Lord Jesus? Do you have peace? The Bible says, great peace have they who love thy law. The Bible also says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody who's ever born, who hears the message of the gospel, can receive personal inner peace by simply trusting in the merits of the blood Jesus shed in our place, because we did not have pure blood. Do you have peace? Well, it may be that the dove said, I'll bring the gift of an olive leaf to the newborn king because he's the Prince of Peace. Finally, think with me of Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, where the Bible teaches that someday Jesus is going to return to earth and set up His kingdom. The first time He came to die. And some of our precious Jewish friends miss that in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 belongs to the Hebrew people. Isaiah 53 is scripture recorded by a Jew. But some of our precious Jewish friends miss the fact that the first time their Messiah came, He was going to have to suffer and die. And they only got the second part, that someday He was going to reign as King. And He is going to reign. And Revelation 19, verse 11 says that when Jesus comes the second time to reign as King, He'll come as a conquering king on a white horse. I love horses. I want you to pray that Jane will let me get a horse. I'm expecting to move off the parsonage property within a year or so. We're expecting to move off, and I'd like to get about 2 acres south of Dyer and get a horse. I love to have a horse. And you boys and girls could come and ride him sometime. If you'd help me feed him hay and help me with the other stuff that goes with horses. I like horses. There may have been a horse in that stable that night. And when Joseph asked the horse, what will you give as a gift to the newborn king? The horse in the stable may have said, what gift will I give to the newborn king? I'll give him my legs. I'll give him my legs so he can come back to rule the earth, riding behind a white and flowing mane. I'll give him my legs and my mane so he can come back to the earth and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in a real, literal, 1,000-year kingdom. I'll give him my legs and my flowing white mane. Well, here is the song. The words are mostly in place. The tune is not finalized. But here's the song, and then we'll have our invitation. The song is called The Critters and the King. The Critters and the King. They had themselves a meeting in that stable long ago. The Critters and the Carpenter, as almost everybody knows. And when Joseph asked the question, "What will you give the little king?" each critter had an answer, a gift that he would bring. The sparrow said, "I'll build my house near his. My young will worship by my side." The donkey said, "I'll give my back to him, for every king should ride." The rooster said, "I'll crow for him each time he is denied." And the lamb said he his name would give. 'Twas not hard to decide, for the king would die as sacrifice. The flock his blood would spare, and the dove bestowed an olive leaf on the Prince of Peace so fair. The horse said he would give his legs when the king returned to reign, so the king could come to conquer sin behind a white and flowing mane. And the critters all sang, "Praise him, Jesus, newborn king, the Lord of lords." The critters all sang, "Praise him," and no one missed a chord. What gift will you give the newborn king?
Isn't that just like the Lord? So very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.